Father, I praise you with all of my heart. I ask you, Lord, that your will be done in all things. Lord, forgive us where we have failed. Lord, forgive us, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for strength and for guidance and direction. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill the hearts of all people, with your of the believers, of your children, Lord. Lord, we come to you, Lord, and there is no other one we can come to, Lord. You are the one with all the answers and with the solution, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that this word that is about to be spoken, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would guard my heart and guard my mouth. Allow me, Lord, to speak only what you would direct me to speak, Lord. And may you be glorified, Lord. May you be praised always and forever, Father. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. The message today is entitled, The Power of the Gospel. Now, it's so important that we hear that message, the power of the gospel. Why? Why? Because the gospel is the good news. It is the good news of God. The gospel is the message that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believe in him, Christ, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, there are a lot of opinions in this world, and there are a lot of religions in this world. And I come from the school that there is only one that is right. And as a matter of fact, Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through him alone. So either Jesus is a liar, a lunatic, or Jesus is telling the truth. And so I personally believe Jesus is telling the truth. Because I know that when I look into this world, I see evil. I see hatred. I see racism. I see division. I see murder. I see, you name it. And there is an instigator behind that. But I also look into this world and I see that there is some good. I see that there is compassion, that there is love, that there is those things. And so for the Christian living in this world, this is as close as you'll ever get to hell. And for the unbeliever living in this world, this is as close as you'll ever get to heaven. And one day when you die, and you will die, you will then know the truth. The Bible says that if you'll know the truth, then the truth will set you free. Well, Jesus says he is the truth. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the truth. The world has such hostility towards the gospel message. Why? Because the world is guilty of sin. And Jesus came to set the captives free. I spent many years in prison ministry. Some of the guys would wake up early in the morning when I'd arrive at 7, had a room all to myself, and some of the guys would get in there just because they were bored being in their cell. They did not go in there to hear the gospel. They went in there because they were just tired of being in their cell. And then there were some men that went in there because they wanted to hear the gospel. But I'll tell you what, when they all left, they heard the gospel. Because God will always be glorified. Amen. Amen. Now, what you do with this message today, that is between you and Jesus. But I pray that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray that you are forgiven of your sin, because the Bible says, Jesus says, that when we die, we will come before him. And if our name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will be cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. Now, this is not a hellfire brimstone message, but let me tell you something. This is the gospel message. You know, when you were born in this world, my grandson, there's a baby back there, and my grandson is here, somewhere around here, and we're reminded as parents, we do not have to teach our children to lie, to be stingy, to be selfish. They do that naturally. Why? Because by the wisdom of God, that is revelation that we naturally have sin nature within us. And when we grow up and be accountable of our sin, then that sin nature, we're now responsible to pay the debt. And that debt is, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about eternal separation from God. And that is why God came in the man, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of sin on the cross. For all who would believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, repenting of your sin, confessing your sin, and coming to Him for the forgiveness of sin, and following Him all the days of your life. That is the gospel message. That is the good news. The bad news is that the serpent came into the Garden of Eden, and he deceived Adam. He deceived Eve. That's the bad news. But the good news is that God did something about it. Because a lot of people in the world will say, well, why is not God doing anything about this? There's so much injustice. There's so much murder. There's so much going on in the world. Why doesn't God, who says it's a God of love, why doesn't he do something about this? He has. He sent his only begotten son. Amen. And guess what? He's coming back again. Amen. 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 He's coming back again. He's in your heart, Christian. He gives you hope. He gives you peace. And guess what? He gives you power to overcome all the fiery darts of the evil one. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says to the church in Corinth, he says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." This message is called power of the gospel. Now the world will listen to what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the message of the cross this morning. And to people who are in their sin, what I'm saying, those people, they hear me, it's foolishness to them. It's foolishness. When you were growing up as a little kid and your mama and daddy gave you instruction and they were right and you were going to be wrong if you went against it, but you were thinking, it's foolishness. Amen. Say amen, Brother Jason. Amen. Amen. It's foolishness. But they knew better. How much more our eternal Heavenly Father? This message is foolishness to the world. But to us who come to the cross of Jesus, it saves us from our sin. It delivers us from sin because it is the power of God. Amen. Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus says this. Therefore, Jesus says, everyone who hears the words of mine, these words of mine, and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Hallelujah. But everyone who hears these words of mine, verse 26, and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell and a great was its fall. Talking about life. When you build your house, it's talking about your life. You see, when Noah was told by God, I'm going to flood the world. Noah, you have so many years to build this ark. Get your sons to help you. I'm giving you three sons, Noah. Three strong men. They're going to help you build this ark, Noah. And what all can be saved, Noah, will come into the ark. Amen. What all can be saved will come into the ark. Hallelujah. 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 And so the flood came. And this preacher of righteousness, God called Noah, he only could have his family saved. Nobody else in the world would hear him. Think about that, preacher. You preach and only your family responds to the message. But the whole world thought you were foolish. But yet, what does it reveal? That you as a Christian today, you're building an ark. And that ark is your life. And if you are a faithful builder in your relationship with Christ, you're going to save some people with you. Your family. Amen. Friends. Strangers. And Jesus says, everyone who builds this house, builds this ark, this testimony, if you are building on the rock of truth, on the foundation, Jesus is the rock. And if your life is based on Scripture, not on a preacher's opinion, not on your own opinion, but if you truly come to the Bible in the understanding of the Holy Spirit, and you build your life on the scriptures, you'll not be shaken. You'll not experience destruction. Your life will be in order. There will always be chaos and trials and tribulations in your life, but you will know the way to go. You will have direction. You will have a peace that surpasses all understanding. You'll have a power. You'll have a faith that can move everything in this world when God, in alignment with God's will, when God says, get out of his way. Amen. Amen. Because now, more than ever before, with the world, the way it's going, we are heading into another world war. The nations, the kings of this earth are lining up. It's all in place. In the twinkle of an eye, that is the signs of the end times. In the twinkle of an eye, these things will happen. As birth pains upon a woman become more and more and more before delivery, so as it is, Jesus said, that as before he comes, more and more birth pains with earthquakes and epidemics and wars and rumors of wars and signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, these things are happening. But as believers of the Lord, the Bible says, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws near. Why? Our faith should be in Christ alone. Our hope is in Christ alone. It's in the gospel message. And whatever Jesus said, it was recorded in the scriptures. Well, man wrote the Bible. Yes, man wrote the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you too, Christian, you can do good too. You can live righteously under the direction, the inspiration, only through the Holy Spirit. Amen. You cannot walk with Jesus when you used to not walk with Jesus. You get what I'm saying? Before you walked with Jesus, that man cannot walk with Jesus. There has to be a death of that man. There has to be a reborn experience, and there has to be that true confession and that repentant heart that says, Lord, forgive me. And he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You might speak in tongues, you might not. That's not the evidence. The evidence is this, that there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and guess what? Self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. That is the evidence that you've been baptized in the Spirit. But I don't say that speaking in tongues and all the other gifts are not for today. They are for today, but in its proper order. So much of the church emphasizes on signs and miracles and wonders and the gifts of the Spirit, but yet they still live like the devil. They still lie and cheat and steal. And then you're going to come into the house and say, the Lord is here, the Lord is here, the Lord is here? In 1 Corinthians 9, 16, Paul says to the church, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Just keep that up for a moment, please. And hear this. Every Christian is under command. Every Christian is under compulsion. Now, when you look at that word compulsion, it means by force. Jesus says that heaven will be taken by force. Hell will be taken by force, meaning some people are going to go to hell by force because they lived unrighteously, they denied Christ, and therefore they will be taken by heavenly angels into the place of lake and fire. The Bible even talks about when the angels guided the poor man that died and went to the bosom of Abraham, the angels directed him. You know, it's hard living in this world. Whether you're a Christian or not, it is hard living in this world. It is more difficult for the Christian. Why? Because Satan does not own you. You see, before you were a Christian, Satan was just having fun with you. He was watching you destroy yourself. The Bible says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know and prove what the will of God is. What does that mean? It means admit who you are, frail and weak, a sinner. But say, but Lord, forgive me, but here I am. Save me. And God will direct you and lead you, but you just have to follow. You just have to believe. It's that easy. But we make it so difficult, don't we? Say amen. Amen. We do. We always look at what used to be our strongholds in life. We always look back at what the temptations were in our life. We always look back at what the struggles are in our life. We always look back, and we always like to blame other people for our failures. We always like to blame other people why we're sick and why we're homeless and why we don't have a job and why we always try to blame other people. Oh, we think we deserve a handout. Every person on the face of this earth, whether they're a Christian or not, has the ability to call out to God. And what a great testimony is when you do call out to God with a right heart and He touches you. You'll never forget it. And you'll never have to say, but Pastor so-and-so helped me or so-and-so helped me. No. This was between you and the Lord. And that's why there will be a fire that'll burn in you forever. Look, we can go to church and we can go feed the homeless. We can go do all this and we can go do that. And Jesus said, you'll always have the homeless. And there's a lot of good things we can do as a church, but we're not saved by those things. God's glorified. But what I'm talking about this morning is about you and you and you touching, experiencing the power of God for your personal life so that you could be of good use to the kingdom. So you can have daily victory over Satan and his fallen angels. Paul says, I'm under compulsion. See, Paul used to kill Christians. Now Paul is a Christian. And he writes again, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to brag about. I am under order. I'm under compulsion. I am by force. Woe is to me if I do not preach the gospel. Christian, woe to you if you do not follow Jesus. Jesus says, anyone who puts their hands at a plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Look at Lot's wife. When the angels pulled them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot's wife, what did she do? Talk to me, church. Come on. She looked back, and what happened? Yeah. Turned into a pillar. Why? Because she looked back. Many years later, Jesus said the same thing. Anyone who puts their hand to the plow, meaning anyone who says, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but looks back on their old way of living, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And you see, a lot of the people in the church, preachers today, they're not going to say that. Why? Because they don't want you running out the door. No, 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 no. When you get some accountability in your life, you man up to your responsibility. Say, there's only so much I can do, Lord. I cannot do it all. But what I can do, I'm going to do. I'm going to put that drink down. I'm going to put that cigarette down. I'm going to put all this stuff down. And I'm going to pick up the cross, my cross, and follow you daily. Because that is what Jesus says. Amen? Amen? What does Jesus say? If anyone wants to follow me, humble themselves, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus daily. That's what Jesus says. And what is your cross? It's your testimony. It's your life. Pick yourself up and get with it. Because you follow a great king. A mighty king, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There's no, you're going to go through hard times. I know what it's like to bury a child prematurely. It hurts. It's hard. But glory when I get to heaven. Forever and ever we'll be together. Amen? I don't have time to cry about things like that. There's a lot of victory to have over the devil. God has given you not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love. And the world has come out of the closet. They're going to speak all the evil they want against God. And we're not at battle with them. We're not at war with flesh and blood, but we stand upon truth, the word of God, and we proclaim it on the rooftops of our house, and we live by it, and we're not shaken. If we die, we die. If we live, we live. But we do it with a heart of love, God's love. It's time to win souls. You know, it's not my job to win souls as the preacher. It's your job. It's your job to testify. It's your job to invite people into your home, have dinner, have lunch. It's your job to go out and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Now, yes, I'm to do that too. But ultimately, my job as a minister, as a preacher, as a pastor, is that when you bring those people in, then I do my part because you've already done your part. And you see, we all take a part in winning souls. and God alone is glorified. Because look at what Paul says. Bring that up, please, 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast about. Everything we do, we are not to brag about it. I don't come up here and say, oh, I'm a preacher, ha, ha, ha. Or, you know, I'm a singer in the band, or I'm a drummer in the band. No, we don't have nothing to boast about. We are under order as Christians, as children of God, to do what God has called us. What did Jesus say? Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said, I did not come to serve, but I came. I did not come to be served. Jesus says, I came to serve. And so we're following Jesus. We are servants. We are either going to be a servant of Jesus or a servant of Satan. There is no middle. There is no middle. Now look, I'm going to talk to you. Romans 1:14-17. Romans 1:14-17. Paul's heart was to speak to the epicenter of the world of the day, of his day, and it happened to be in Rome. But this scripture still speaks to us today, because the epicenter of the world, well, where is it? I mean, people could say it's New York. Oh, it's Paris. Well, you know what? This message is above time, and it speaks to everybody, everywhere, at all time. Paul says here in verse 14, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. You hear that? Paul says in another letter, I'm under obligation. Paul says it again a second time, I'm under compulsion. I'm under order. I'm under obligation. I am obligated to God to do this for what he has done for me. Amen? We cannot pay off God. Say, okay, God, I served you 50 years. Now I get to take it easy. Can't say that, Jason. Can't say that. Sorry, John. Can't say that. You want to be indebted to the Lord forever and ever. Why? Because he's good. Amen. Get some joy in your life, Christian. Open the door of joy, the door of peace. Open it. Let him in. You don't need the sleepless nights anymore. You don't need to struggle anymore. Yes, you'll fight, but it's in faith. Look at this. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Meaning I am under obligation to the world, verse 15. So, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So what does the power of God do? It brings salvation and it brings faith. The gospel message, it brings salvation and it brings faith. What I told you about, what Jesus did on the cross, when you believe in your heart, and when you confess with your mouth that Christ died and rose physically from the dead to pay for your sin, and you've repented of your sin, and you look to him as Lord and Savior, and follow him all the days of your life, you're saved. You're not going to be perfect. And it doesn't give you a license to sin, because those who have been saved and yet continue to live in a habitual lifestyle of sin, you've just walked away from salvation. You don't lose it, but you've walked away from it. Somebody could say it's basically the same. Well, yeah, maybe it is. You can walk away from God altogether. That's why the Bible says, finish the race faithfully, because only the faithful inherit heaven. Finish the race faithfully. And you're not alone in this battle. He'll give you his Holy Spirit. He's given you his Son. He's given you scripture to fall on. And not only that, he's given you Christian fellowship. The Christian fellowship is just as powerful as all things. Because why? Because iron sharpens iron. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Amen. Don't let the devil lie to you. Satan loved it when COVID hit and all the churches closed and all the churches went online. And yeah, you can still hear the word of God. Yes, but if you look at the North Koreans today and the Chinese, those underground churches, they yearn for what you have this morning. That's right. North Koreans, two of them meeting in a boat in the middle of a lake to silently sing a song to the Lord and to discuss in their heart scripture. They cannot have it in paper because if they're caught with it, it's bad. They yearn for something like that. And we just take all of this just for granted. We take it all for granted. We got the nice air condition, the comfy pews. You are the greatest missionary. We're living in the greatest missionary age. The greatest need for missionaries in the entire world is not China. It's not Thailand. It's not South America. It's the United States of America. Amen. Because if the West falls, so does the rest of the Western world. And I'm not political here. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. But the door is open in the Western world for the gospel. But there will come a day, there will come a day when the United States Constitution will be ripped up and done away with. There will come a day. You see, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God shall remain forever. Satan would rather destroy the letter of the Bible, the paper. But he knows that will never happen. So what is Satan doing? He's going towards the constitutions, the laws of the nations. And in regards to America, that is what he's coming to today. He's causing so much division and anger and hatred and fight on the United States Constitution. And sadly, a lot of Christians put their hope in the Constitution and not in the Bible. The Christians of the early church, they were under Roman rule. They had no religious freedoms. But yet, their churches thrived greater than the American church today. Amen. They were adding to their number by the thousands daily, those who were being saved. Why? Because their hope was not in man. Their hope was in the Word, was in the Lord. And that's why there's no power. Because the power of the gospel saves. The power of the gospel transforms lives. And so when we allow politics and when we allow all of that stuff to get into the church, we lose the power. Look, it's not political for a church to talk about transgenderism, abortion, sexual morality, because those are not political issues. Those are God issues, because God has spoken about those issues. So that's not political. Don't let the world deceive you. Those are not political issues. Those are God issues. Those are biblical issues. When you want to talk about taxes, that's a political issue. Okay? Pay your taxes, said Jesus. That's a political issue. Zoning laws, things like that. Those are political issues. But these are biblical issues. Understand what the Word of God says. The power of God brings salvation. It brings faith. Amen? And the righteous shall live by faith. Now, I want to read something to you. It's going to be a little long, but we're going to get through it, and there's a reason why I want to read this. Let's set this up. Romans 1, 18 through 32. Paul begins to speak to the church in Rome, and it can still echo to today, because look at what society, not only in America, but throughout the world, look at what the world is plagued with. Such immorality today. They're calling a girl boy and a boy girl. They're teaching this stuff in pre-K 4. You can choose your own gender. That's wrong. That's evil. It's wicked. And it does not come from God. Now, let me show you this. I'm going to read this, Romans 1, 18 through 32. Paul says, and he explains the beginning. He says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. These people know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So the people have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Remember the Egyptians? Remember the Egyptians? They worshiped the sun, the moon. They worshiped these different animals. This is talking about ancient times. Well, we don't worship that today. Hold on just a minute. So God abandoned them, verse 24. He abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, They did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who was worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires, and even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. And since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking, and he let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break the promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet, they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. That's what we see happening today in America. We see today these adults being allowed to go into schools and teach them about transgender and about drag queen shows. Now, I pray for these people because they're confused and they're lost and they've been deceived by the enemy. That is not the enemy, these people that are living in sexual morality. We are to love these people and treat them with kindness and love. But we have to understand that just as a Christian is driven by the Holy Spirit to love, people of the world who do not know God are driven by an antichrist spirit to do demonic things. And so our battle is with unseen forces in the heavenly realms, not the people. The devil would want you, Christian, to say, well, we need to come against these people and we need to fight them. And if you treat any person, regardless of who they are, what color they are, what race they are, what sexual agenda they have, if you treat any person with disrespect, you've just hurt the very heart of God. Because God came to save these people. And so, shake their hand. How are you doing? You know, it doesn't mean you have to be their best friend, but you treat people, all people, with respect. But you have to understand that there has to be a change in their heart, and that can only come from God, and also by them seeing you live the gospel, by you being who Jesus says you ought to be. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. When you live with the heart and the love of God in your life, Christian, whenever you come around sinful things, it'll be made right. People will repent because you know what? That's what Jesus did. Jesus is the love of God. And whenever Jesus went, he went with the drunkards. He went with the prostitutes. And guess what? They did one or two things. They either repented and of their sins and followed him, or they hated Jesus and they crucified him and put him on the cross. And that's the way they will treat you too. They'll either repent of their sins and follow you as you follow Jesus, or they're going to crucify you too. They're going to call you a bigot. They're going to call you a racist, a religious zealot. And you see it in the news. You see it happening. Paul says, look, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, Paul goes on to say this in the same matter. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Satan is the one who deceives you. He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. The Bible says it, not Michael. Michael, you can't say that about these people. No, God said it in his word. Look, but here's what I love about verse 11. Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Amen? Some of us were all of these bad stuff. But you got saved. You were born again. Right. Amen? Amen? You died unto the world to be alive unto God. Amen? Hallelujah! Amen. That's what the power of the gospel does. And so all of us, I was a drunkard. I was a liar. I was a thief. I was a murderer in heart. I was on the verge of actually committing murder. None of you would like me before I was a Christian. None of you would. Because I was just a mean, mean person. I had such hatred for my heart. I'm going to say this. You know, when I would see certain tragedies happen, like mass tragedies, I would be like, good. Then people probably deserved it. What kind of heart was that? But that's not me today. That's right. And that's not you today. Amen. God has changed us. So I don't speak condemnation to anybody, but I do say if you don't repent of your sins and turn to the power of the gospel, you'll be lost forever. In Romans 3, 21 through 26, this sums up everything. It says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned. Everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For God was looking ahead and including those people in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he himself makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. You see, when you believe, that means you've repented. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's the power of the gospel. It brings deliverance. It brings deliverance. Christian, you're going to get tangled up with the devil sometimes in this world, but there is deliverance. If you continue in the word, there's breakthrough. Satan's stronghold can be broken. Amen. Matthew 16, 18 through 19 says this. Jesus says to Peter, I say that you are Peter, and upon you, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, hell, will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Meaning, as Christians, it's passed down through our spiritual fathers. It's passed down from church, the member, the child of God, the child of God, the child of God. As Peter, so should we. We have the authority and the power of heaven. Amen? Amen? Over the enemy, in the name of Jesus. We don't brag about it. We don't boast about it. But we have this power and authority to live holy before God and to push back the gates of hell. Amen? Amen? And Acts 2, 37 through 39, it says this. We're having a baptism today. Water baptism. Peter, 50 plus days before, he denied Jesus was the Lord. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. See, I know what it's like because I've denied Jesus Christ in my life as a Christian. And I know the heartache and pain to have that. I hope you never experience that. That is a dark and lonely place to be, but you're not alone, because Peter was not alone. You see, Peter denied Christ, but weeks later, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 1:8, You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's not just for Peter. It's not just for the apostles of the day. It's for the whole church. You don't believe me? Let's read this. In Acts 2, 37 through 39, Peter preaches the greatest sermon. He was once a coward. Now he's the preacher of righteousness. Two totally different people. 3,000 people got saved after this message he preached. It says, when they heard this, the people heard the message, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. There are going to be three getting baptized today because they believe that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. They've repented of their sins. Amen? Amen? And the Bible says here that this promise is for them too today. It's for you today. It's for anyone who God will ever call, and they respond to the call. You're not saved by water baptism. Water baptism is symbolic of the decision that you've made in your heart towards Jesus. The reason why it's important, water baptism, is because in those days when the Jews were coming to Jesus, people couldn't believe that. They were in shock. And water baptism is powerful. John the Baptist started baptizing people in the water to show that they were sincere in their heart. Look, they're getting baptized in the water. Dunk. It's real. They're serious. So water baptism is just symbolic. That's all it is. It's symbolic. It's symbolic. But they got saved. Amen. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. They have the power of God in them now. And let me tell you something, Christian. The Lord says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not abandon you as orphans. So when you're going through the hardest times in your life, it's always good to reach out to get help from another Christian or whoever. Yeah. But it's not always necessary, because you have a Father in heaven that will deliver you every single time. I asked my high school students, I said, you're all Christians? They said, yes. I said, have you ever heard God's voice? Some looked at me and they looked at me and said, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm not talking audibly. I mean, if you have heard audibly his voice, praise God. I haven't. But God can do that. I said, but have you heard the voice of the Lord in your heart? And some said yes, some said no. I said, let me tell you something. All of you have heard his voice. You just either haven't recognized it yet. And you need to learn to recognize the voice of the Lord. Because let me tell you something, child. Our Father in heaven, he's the perfect Father. And a perfect Father always speaks to his children. You're just not recognizing his voice. It's so still. And with all the voices in the world and all the opinions, you need to train yourself to hear his voice. And that is going to be reading the word, understanding the word, because the written word will never go in confliction with what he puts in your heart. Amen? It will always confirm. It will affirm it. And so the Father always speaks to his children. God speaking, but we may not be listening. It's time to listen, because that is where you find the power of the gospel. You know, you don't always want to do this. God says, well, come here. Oh, gosh. Really, Lord? Lord, please, anybody but me, Lord. No, Lord. Isn't that what Moses said? Send anybody. Don't send me, Lord. I don't want to go. Right? Gideon. What did Gideon say? Me? Are you serious? I'm the least in my family. No way, right? I can go on and on and on. I strayed away from the Lord for 15 years from this call, from this pulpit, because I knew what this was going to cost. But you don't lose anything, you gain. And see, that's the lie I believed from the enemy for so many years, that I was going to lose something, but I actually gained. Amen. Every day when I go see my students in the class, I said, look at this. I'm gaining. Amen. I'm gaining. You know, these kids are going to grow up and be adults one day. And I'm going to be an old man. And if I'm alive there, they're going to come and they're going to, you know, pat me on the head. Hey, Pastor Michael, how you doing, old man? You know, but it's okay because we made good memories together. You're leaving a legacy. You're putting the word of God into their heart. You're blessing them. You want to know why? Because me, I was an 80s kid. But what happened in the 80s is nothing to what's happening today. I'm talking about the evil. And what's going to happen with my grandson's generation? That's why I'm at work today. Because when I leave this world, and I'm going to leave this world, but I'm going to make sure that I did all God called me to do to leave a roadmap for the next generation. And if that is not that important on your heart, then you, my friend, need to get saved because you're lost in your sin. Because your relationship with Jesus is not about you. It's about the next generation. That's what it's about. So stop struggling with sin and start becoming victorious over sin. Stop struggling. Stop doubting with the Lord and just start trusting the Lord. Amen? And I've told y'all this story many times. June 8th, 2003, I woke up that Sunday morning. I looked at the Lord. I was drunk in the mirror looking. I said, Lord, I'm tired. I don't want to do this no more. And the Lord said, okay. I said, Lord, I've been trying. I'm trying. I can't do it. And the Lord said, Michael, I never called you to try. I called you to trust in me. I said, well, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'll be a holy roller. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm done. And the Lord, what do you want me to do, Lord? He said, take a shower. You stink. Took a shower. And I took my wife, who at that time was not a Christian. And we went to a church. And there was a traveling evangelist. And my wife got so scared that we were in the church parking lot after we were leaving. She said, don't you ever bring me to a place like this again. A month later, she got saved. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. Yes, give God praise. Amen. Amen. Amen.